97.5, The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And it starts. We're draft eve. Pat's dancing, which is always a good sign on a Wednesday. Yesterday's Tuesday was a lot more fun than our usual Tuesday. That was a big fun Tuesday. Here on the John Kincaid Show, and Bradford White Water Heaters brings you the 6 o'clock hour. Bradford White is here for the pro. And my thought this morning is the water hit my head because I sort of idolized Bob Cooney a little bit, so I've stolen his idea.
A little bit? You idolize me a lot.
I do,
John.
I do. And as the water hit my head this morning, I said, what was I going to do? What was my Wednesday positive thought? Is that I am a positive person. And I believe in joyous days, so I plan on having tons of joy and as we approach this draft and have a great, great Wednesday.
Thursday will be joyous, John. Come on, let's think it into existence.
I am.
Let's
do
it.
I really do. I do think it. Nah. So as we get started here, I've got a few things I want to get to. But I working the phones last night and yesterday afternoon, I've got to tell you, I feel very confident we're going to have a good Thursday and potentially Friday.
Good. Listen to you working the phones.
Well, just calling people because, Bob, I'm not.
I love that.
Well, the thing is, I'm not educated enough on. I can read. I know I've watched as much college. I would put it this way. I've watched as much college football as anybody that I hear behind a microphone that does daily sports talk radio. I've lived it for 25 years. I've lived where college football was our number one. We talked college football 365.
Sure.
Every day of the year, we talked it from some way, shape, or form. And I really believe here's the best news for Jamie Lynch. And I didn't say it in pre-show because I wanted to pre-show. Here's the best news for Jamie Lynch.
Food delivery today?
That would
no,
be
this
good.
Is a delivery of some good information, though. That I was told by somebody that I really trust to say he believes, using my term back to me, that the Philadelphia Eagles are shopping in the right aisles. Because he used my term back to me. He said he believes that for Thursday and Friday, the Philadelphia Eagles are shopping in the right aisles. And he was using my term back to me. I take it that that's the SEC.
Good.
I take it that that is major conference, major program. And this person is completely convinced that Howie Roseman has learned his lesson about trusting the scouts for this year.
Whoa, that's the best news I could hear.
Completely convinced, because he says job preservation, he believes, is number one. That he thinks Howie likes having the job, and he thinks that there is job preservation on his mind.
That's the best news I could hear.
So I saved that bombshell for you to start the show.
Thank you for that.
Job
nice Wednesday now.
He believes the Eagles are shopping. He thinks for Thursday and Friday. And I will read you directly from one of the texts in the chain here. All bets are off for Saturday.
Yeah.
Because you never know if some scouts have identified guys. But his belief is that the Eagles are shopping in all the right aisles, and that we should be confident that if they're going to miss, they're going to miss. The last words, be confident that if the Eagles are going to miss, they're going to miss in the right places, and they're going to miss in the right position groups.
All right. It's a nice little start to the Wednesday.
That made me feel good. Does it make you feel good, Bob?
No. They're not going to miss in the right position. I mean, they're going to miss in the right position.
No, they're...
Where, what position do they not need to address?
Okay, but I believe if you were to do a priority list, if we all said it, there'd be a priority list of cornerback, wide receiver,
linebacker.
Linebacker.
Which could be a pass rusher.
Or pass rusher, whatever.
Can be a combo.
And we don't know what Gannon. I mean, I got to look at more Gannon stuff. So I got you. Yeah, but the thing is, though, tight end's passable. And by the way, also, too, another one here. Don't assume that Zach Ertz is gone. He said, I'd put it at 60-40 that Zach Ertz is gone, and if Zach Ertz is gone, I believe it will be Saturday.
Okay.
But he said 60-40.
That's interesting. And I don't think they'd cut him.
No. So I think cutting him, I have a feeling that they look at it as it would almost be an insult.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They, by the way, there are plans. I was also told that there are... I know that there have been discussions or plans to find a way to make Zach Ertz a long-term part of the organization.
I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, I'm not against that at all.
But I think and he said, though, that does not preclude a trade.
Sure.
But are you interested in being a part of this organization when your career is done? Do you want to be in this Philadelphia community? And I think that. So all these things made me very promising, Pat. Felt very promising to me to hear that like the Eagles organization might have already had some conversation with Zach Ertz going, after football, you want to be part of the face of this organization? You want to be in this? You want to get involved somehow? That makes me, I feel more positive about that. You do. You look glazed a little like Bob.
Yeah, it does not. I don't care. I'm happy for Zach, but I don't really care if what he does after he leaves his playing days.
No. But it tells me though. But that's something, Pat. That right organization, the good organizations do that.
Okay. Counterpoint.
Okay.
The Flyers do that a lot, and it's gotten them nothing.
Oh, I got you with that.
But I hear you.
I worked for that organization, and I can tell you, Mr. Snyder looked at that organization like a jobs program, because he looked at players in that organization as family. When you hear about an owner thinking of people as family, nobody lived it, breathed it, or otherwise like Ed Snyder. I know Ed Snyder bailed players out of jail. I know Ed Snyder paid people's mortgages that fell down on their luck.
He got one guy a job in Atlanta.
He did. He certainly did.
Hey, look, it's a sign of good faith, and I'm not overly surprised because they've done this before. They did it with Dawkins. They did it with Dornbos, I believe. So I'm not overly surprised. I would rather keep him and trade him at the deadline than trade him for a fifth round.
And I've heard that, and that's a good theory. I mean, it might work.
It all comes down to Ertz, I think, though. So as great as the Eagles would look in our eyes to do the right thing by him, if he doesn't want to be here, he's going to let them know at some point, or maybe he already has. But we saw the disconnect last year with him in this organization, right? It was obvious on the football field.
It was obvious.
It was reported off the field. I would love that for Zach Ertz. I would love to fences be mended and him finish his career here. God, and John, you've talked about it endlessly about what he means to the community.
And
I would love to see it end here.
I've got three more. How about this? I've got a juicy tidbit an hour.
Ooh.
For all of you.
Whoa.
That was the start. But I wanted to start that with positivity.
And I was planning on leaving.
And that's very, very
well,
good.
To what Bob just said, he was pouty and all that last year.
He was.
Because he wanted to be here so badly.
Yes.
So like, I'll take that rather than somebody that's pouty because...
But get out of yourself.
Yes, he messed up.
We got a rule in our house that... and it's why I was just telling Bob about this morning. We have a rule in our house that pity parties don't see a sunrise. So if you're pissed off about something in an afternoon, and some days that happens, even with me, and you're pissed off about something, you just want to punch a wall, you're pissed. The pity party, you can be pissed. But when you wake up the next morning, the sunrise comes, put on your big boy pants and get to work. And ignore it. And go on with their things. So for Zach Ertz, I'm a little disappointed that was the case.
Yeah.
A pity party can't last for yourself.
Sure.
You can be pissed off. But then use it as fuel.
Yeah, last year was just such a disaster all around, from Carson to Doug to everything. It was just like a perfect storm of doo-doo.
I got three things three more in text chains and that I'll just drop on you that I believe are positive things. And I believe I only have one negative thing that I got last night. I'll share that one too a little bit later on. But I feel very, very good about the weekend. I'm feeling good now.
You brought up job preservation with Howie.
Yes, and by the way, two NFL people both mentioned in some way, shape, or form that they believe Howie Roseman knows he's got to change some things.
Good. Okay, those are the best words I'm hearing.
And that, to me, one of them mentioned job preservation. So that tells me NFL insiders that are very connected are telling me Howie's been told this plan better be coming. I better see results immediately. I better see some
by
positive.
Whom?
I take it Jeffrey Lurie.
Okay.
Jeffrey.
So I'm playing devil's advocate totally. If Howie wants job preservation, is it more listening to the scouts and doing what they say? Or is it more listening again to Jeffrey Lurie saying, yeah, they may say to take Devontae Smith there, but I think this guy from UCLA is a better.
I think Jeffrey has to realize it too.
Okay, and when you hear one of the other ones that I will share with you later, it leads me to believe it is absolutely the scouting department is having the scouting. I am confident.
They're in charge.
I am confident the scouting department is taking the wheel as far as priority, that everybody knows what page they're on.
Good. That's all I've wanted.
And that makes me happy.
Trust the guys you employ to do their job if 12 months of the year.
Correct. And that's what they're paid for, so do it. So you can save time by ordering groceries and more from Walmart using fast delivery or free pickup. Use code WOWFRESH for $10 off your first order. It's a $50 minimum. Delivery fees and restrictions apply. Our NFL Draft All-Star Spectacular, All-Star Day tomorrow, brought to you by Nolan Painting and Bradford White. Bob, you just got done painting. We could add Nolan Painting.
Painting.
Seriously. We could add Nolan Painting in there with the new Cooney Estate.
Well, I heard them say yesterday, Nolan Painting, about, we'll teach you how to paint and looking for workers. And I said, damn, I wish you would have told me that a month, 2 months ago when I started this damn project.
All right. Well, we got lots of draft all day long. You'll be submersed in it. So, I want to get to a couple other things. The Sixers are getting ready to face the Atlanta Hawks in a two-game home series over the next 3 days. In the last 28 games, when you're talking about a 72-game season, 28 games is a huge sample size. The Hawks are 20-8. The Sixers are 18-10 in the same time frame. So don't look past this spunky Hawks team. Don't get me wrong, though. The Hawks are nothing but a spunky, cute little story. Spunky, cute little story. And Atlanta Sports Radio has really started jumping on board following them, so that's how I know it's a spunky, cute little story. But it's time for the Sixers to show me what a true championship contender looks like. You know what a true championship contender does? They take spunky and they kick its ass to the curb. They take a spunky, cute little story of an upstart group that fired their coach and now they're feeling good and they're missing two of their best players, and they kick that to the curb. They put it out for recycling day. In fact, recycling day is Thursday. Take it to the curb, put it on the curb. If the Sixers allow teams like this Hawks club right now to hang around and not exert their will, and I believe they're an 8-point favorite on my Parks Casino Sportsbook app this morning. This two-game series should be a bit of an acid test. Show us, Sixers, what you're about. Show us what you're about with this Hawks team. You get two games in a row to play them. They're a wounded animal, and they've been playing better than you over a 28-game span, which should never happen. The Hawks should never be better than the Sixers over a 28-game span. Never should happen. This series should not end up in a split. Bob, you know the NBA. Is that I think it's time. We're 11 games out. It's time. I don't want to hear about, well, you split one because you just no. Crush the little cute story from the South. Crush it. Starting tonight.
You trust my outlook on things?
Yes, very much so.
I don't know. You don't have NBA in your Twitter handle, no. So I don't know if I can trust you.
Milwaukee.
Bob Cooney, NBA. You did. Yes.
Didn't like that.
Yes.
Didn't like that series there.
You love this.
You don't have to worry about a split, John. It's done.
Sweep.
They got this. They'll sweep the Hawks. It might not look as good as you want it to.
No. I just want the...
Okay.
Sweep the Hawks.
Okay.
Sweep the Hawks.
It might not look good to a lot of people. Maybe the first game, maybe both games or whatever. But you have to look at this as an 11-game trial while winning is of the utmost importance. So...
what Doc Rivers has to do is starting five out there, 7 minutes into the, or 3 minutes remaining, say, in the first quarter, bing, 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 you three are in. You have to get your playoff rotation and everything down as you want it right now. These last 11 games are the time for the Sixers now. You got to go 9-2. You have to have everything in place of how you want it. You have to know, Joel Embiid has to know in his mind, up, oh, there's the horn, 3 minutes ago in the first quarter, I'm out. I know Dwight Howard's in, which has been the norm, but Seth Curry, Danny Green, those guys all have to know exactly what their roles are right now and how long they're on the playing floor. And most importantly, the substitutes have to know who they are and when they are.
Yeah, George Hill, I think, is a big part of this
exactly.
Because I have a feeling he's got a chance to close out games in the playoffs, perhaps ahead of a Seth Curry. So I really want to see him get integrated and comfortable in his role. And then to Bob's point, how they finish the games is going to be equally as important because you want your, you know, basically your most confident shot takers on the floor. And I think George Hill has a real chance to be one of those five guys remaining.
Joel Embiid's going to eat. He's going to eat. And by the way, Ben Simmons, I think, should be able to eat in these next two games, Pat.
I think the hope would be that you're up ahead so much that you can get that second unit in to actually see what you can get out of that second unit and see those guys gel and develop. I'm only going to be disappointed if they are in a tight game late against the Hawks. I hear what you're saying. I'm not worried about this series at all. Like, I'm with Bob. I think
just
they sweep
win the
it.
Two. Win the two.
But win it convincingly enough where you're able to get that second unit a good amount of run.
So, I mean, you're putting a little higher bar on it than I am, Pat, as far as I just want two wins. I want two wins. I want no discussion. And I don't want it to be where you're in last two possessions of the game and you're worried about beating the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are, now it's become, they've got a city paying attention to them. They're feeling it. They're feeling the energy. That is a franchise right now that's feeling it.
Look, I hear you. And I like nothing more than by the second quarter, you're kind of saying, what should I turn to in the third quarter because this game's over. However, I want to extract something from every game. Now, Pat's talking about a blowout and seeing the second unit out there a little bit more. I hear you on that because I still think there's a battle with Maxey and maybe Shake Milton. They're looking at Maxey an awful lot to see if he has something to use in the playoffs.
It obviously is.
But if it comes down to a couple of possession game, like Jamie said, who do you have out there? So it's something else you extract. Maybe Doc Rivers says, all right, playoff time, although it's only the Atlanta Hawks. Do I have Shake Milton in the game? Do I have Danny Green in the game? Do I have Seth Curry in the game? Who do you go to? So to your point, John, although you don't want it, it still can be beneficial to you in the long run.
A close game.
To extract what exactly am I doing and who am I doing it with in a close game.
By the way, finish with the top seed. The Atlanta Hawks could be your second round series.
Yeah.
Ooh. God, and that's Trae so much Young, better than Milwaukee.
Seriously.
Trae Young kills the Sixers.
Yes, he does.
And he's not there.
And he's not there.
Right.
Trae Young's not there.
Trae Young. Atlanta or Milwaukee? Who would I rather face?
Right. I mean, it's absolutely simple. Trae Young is a spectacular, like, human being, spectacular marketing guy, like, for a community. He's got that city so excited. But guess what? That is a team that should be squashed. And that is a series. If they played the Hawks, that would be a series where I'd say to the Sixers, let Trae Young get his.
Yeah, just shut everybody else
down. Oh, they've done that well.
I know they have. But I'd let him get his. And I would tell you right there, if they took that strategy, it doesn't go more than five. So Trae Young might score 38 in the series.
Yeah, he probably will.
And they still wouldn't win more than a game.
I'm with you. Let him get his. Don't worry about it. He's going to anyway. I mean, obviously, put somebody on him. You don't leave him wide open. But make everybody else beat you. They're not going to be able to.
No, they're not. They're not. That's what I want to see tonight. Look, spunky, cute little stories are great. You know what they are for? Disney movies. What's that show? What do you watch? Are you watching Mighty Ducks?
Oh, the Mighty Ducks. Yeah,
you're watching Mighty Ducks.
Game changers.
The Hawks are the Mighty Ducks. They are an impressive story. They have done an amazing job at 20-8, but they're a spunky, cute little story.
And Trae Young's the Adam Banks of the team.
And you and you know
cake
what,
eater.
And you know what I want Joel Embiid to do? If Joel Embiid, and I'm sure he has a great exterminator, but if Joel Embiid for some reason came out and there was a roach running across the floor, Joel Embiid squashes the roach.
Mm-hmm.
Squash the freaking roach.
Yeah.
The next, tonight and Friday night, just step on the bug. Step on it, squish it. And you know what, Joel? Let someone else clean it up.
Well, at least tonight.
Don't you dare talk about load management with this stuff. Don't even talk about it.
I
don't want to hear this load management. By the way, Cooney, nice shirt. Nice shirt. Are you golfing today?
Jamie said that to me. He goes, what are you golfing today? And I said, I am not lying when I say this. So we just moved into this new house. There are boxes everywhere. I literally saw a pair of shorts that were not wrinkled and washed and seemed clean. And they're golf shorts. So I said, I guess I need a golf shirt. Oh, there's one on a hanger there. And that's
did you
how
think
I
Cooney was
I thought he was golfing. Yeah, I thought he was going to sandbag.
No, I thought he was
practice for Monday.
I thought something. Yeah, I thought you were slipping out on
sandbagger
a little bit. So
no, I would never do that.
We'll there. Okay, we have a lot coming up too on the Phillies' third starter went last night.
Oh, the ace.
Yeah. Well, again, not as a. I will admit, I've seen great progress out of Zach Eflin. He's still exactly what I thought he is, you know, at his best. But I've seen great progress, and we'll get to some of that. Plus, with the draft coming, we've got so much draft discussion. You are going to hear Jamie Lynch's top 12 players that will come off the board. No such order. Are you doing them alphabetical or something?
I mean, I'm ranking them 1 through 12 who I think are going to be the best pros.
The best pros.
Yeah, so regardless of position.
Correct. This does not mean that this is Jamie's last mock draft.
No, that'll be
which
tomorrow.
Which will be tomorrow morning, which is where you've got to get in to beat the bro.
Hell yeah.
So we've got that. At 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock, we have names to call in our Tell a Friend promotion. We've already had 3 out of 4 qualifiers, which I'm damn proud of you people. And hopefully we'll grab some more today. We've got so much going on. We hope you will stick with us. You take the app with you wherever you go. You listen to the station all day long. You check us out on twitch.tv and YouTube. Mike's got you directed there. And if you want to join in the conversation with Connor, you can. You can give him a call at 610-632-0975. It's the John Kincaid Show, and this is 97.5 The Fanatic. So I am quite confident that there's a spunky little story that's come to town with the Atlanta Hawks. So that means I'm going to be on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app later on today. Now, what I found is the point spread line has sort of screwed me over from time to time. So I need to think about some more creative bets. And you know you can make your own lines for almost every single game on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. It is a world full of fun. And it's something that I've never experienced before till I came home, is the idea of being able to wager in the palm of my hand with the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. What's a great way for you to get started with it? How about a risk-free bet up to $500? So we've got pro hoops tonight. You're obviously following baseball night in and night out. And with the NFL draft, there's all kinds of prop bets out there about how you can use your expertise. You think you can beat the bro? Well, how about just using your expertise to win yourself some cash? Download the app today or go to ParksCasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic and get involved in the action. Bet with the home team at Parks Casino. You got to be 21 or older in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline, where we bounce forward with our own Adam Schefter joining us here. Adam, it's draft eve, so what is your draft eve seem like for you as far as schedule wise? Your phone never stops ringing.
That's essentially it. I mean, honestly, everybody's curious about what other people are doing, and you're constantly on the phone, and people are calling in, and you know, it's honestly, it's just a lot of conjecture, a lot of speculation. Just trying to figure out the pieces of the puzzle, right? Where they all fit together. And it's hard to say because one piece could throw all the other pieces out of whack, right? What if the 49ers wind up taking Trey Lance? Where does Mac Jones go? How does that impact the first round? Right? What if the Bengals do go Jamar Chase as opposed to Penei Sewell? And so there are all sorts of questions and, frankly, not enough answers. And that's what I love about Thursday night. It's the moment of truth. You got to put your cards on the table. You got to show your hand. Okay, so the Eagles draft a wide receiver or a cornerback or whatever they do. Well, that's telling you that they feel like they need help at that spot. They love this guy, right?
Sure.
And so you get to find out what these teams are thinking. You get a glimpse into what they're thinking on Thursday night and Friday and Saturday.
Are there certain organizations that lead you, due to your history, that you believe more of what you're hearing from them leading into the draft, that they're known for less misdirection as far as information?
The Eagles?
Or any team. Are there teams? You don't have to name them, but do you have certain organizations that you know if you hear something about them, you believe what you're hearing?
You know, it's not like that. I think that, again, I'm talking to the people that I have relationships with and just trying to piece it together. And it's, I was just thinking this is the 30th draft that I've covered. And so, there are a lot of people I've been fortunate enough to speak to for a long period of time. I don't think they're misdirecting me. Like,
okay.
You know, we're just trying to all figure this out together. And that's sort of how it works. I think that's one of the biggest misnomers out there. Like, again, I don't think that I'm on the phone with a coach or a GM or a front office member, whoever it is, and they're saying, yeah, boy, we're going to take Justin Fields when they're taking Trey Lance or vice versa. I just don't think that's real. And I don't think that's right. I think one of the biggest things is that you just don't know what's going on. Each team, we know the Jaguars know who they're picking. The Jets know who they're picking. The 49ers know who they're picking. The Falcons probably know who they're picking. I think it's Kyle Pitts. That leads us to the Bengals at 5, who I would venture to say probably know who they're picking, either Penei Sewell or Jamar Chase. Now, up to those 5, they have an idea, a really good idea. The Dolphins at 6, they don't know who they're picking today. They don't know because they don't know what the Bengals are doing. And you could say that for all the other teams. Every team has an idea of 2, 3, 4 guys that they could wind up with, maybe more, maybe less. They have certain guys that they'd love to trade up for. They have certain guys that they wouldn't mind to trade back for. So when people say, what are they doing? Howie Roseman doesn't know what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
Yeah, and Adam, he's brought to us every week by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And, you know, I'll probably be logging in tomorrow maybe to take some draft props. Adam, if you had to guess, and obviously it's all, you know, predicated by how the draft board falls, yada, yada, yada. If you had to guess the team that's most willing or able to trade out of the top 10 and the team that's most willing to trade back into the top 10, do you have a guess on either of those teams?
Well, the Falcons would be open to moving back. The Panthers would be open to moving back. Both teams have talked about moving back. Now watch. Bam. All of a sudden the Broncos move back. Now, I'm just telling you, to date, the Falcons have had those conversations and the Panthers have had those conversations. Will it happen on Thursday night? I don't know. It depends on how the board falls. Depends on who's at a certain slot. What if the 49ers take Trey Lance? Where does Mac Jones go? And so does New England then try to trade up for Mac Jones? And do they try to trade up to Atlanta's spot or Carolina's spot or Denver's spot? So, again, there are so many little things that tie into one another that make it so difficult to predict. Now, if we're talking about a team that's going to trade up into the top 10.
New England was on my mind.
I think them trading up to the top 10 is a little overstated. I don't know. That's just not been their history to be that bold. So could I see them going from 15 to 12, you know, to make a jump for something like that? Yeah, I think something like that's possible. But it's hard to see the team most likely to trade up when all these teams are making calls. They're all greasing the skids. What would it take? Okay, we'd be. They're just laying the groundwork, depending on how the board falls. Look, again, I did a story on ESPN this weekend, and I remember this distinctly because I remember talking to both teams and being aware of it. The Bills and Broncos had a trade in place for Buffalo to trade up from, I believe it was at that time, it was roughly number 12, 10, 12, wherever they were, to Denver's spot at 5 in the draft of 2018. They had an agreement. Hey, we talked about this. But Denver said to them, well, we have to see how the board falls. It depends on who's there. If our guy's there, we're not going to make a trade. And they said, no problem. And the Bills felt like the Broncos guy wouldn't be there. They felt like they had to trade with Denver. And lo and behold, Denver's turn comes up on the clock. Bradley Chubb is there. Denver calls Buffalo and says, no deal to the deal that both sides had put together. And the Broncos drafted Bradley Chubb, and the Bills scrambled to trade up to number 7, to Tampa. Now, I wouldn't have told you the day before the draft that Tampa was the team most likely to trade back. But it fell into their lap that night. Tampa traded back. Buffalo traded up. Buffalo took Josh Allen. Tampa took Vita Vea. And that's how it worked out. But to me, it's a perfect example of what's going on. Sometimes teams are so desperate to get up, they will have certain trades lined up like Buffalo did. Other times, there's just conversations. And again, it's the greatest reality show going. Because it all unfolds in real time right in front of us.
Shefty, when you started reporting on this draft, who's the one name that kept coming up over and over and over again that you thought, wow, I didn't know if he would be there, but these teams all keep bringing his name up? As far as a higher draft pick?
Well, Kyle Pitts is the guy, to me, that when it started, he's going to be, I think, the highest tight end ever drafted. Okay, we start there. And I've spoken to teams that have told me he's the best player in the draft. But now, again, I knew going into the draft that Kyle Pitts was highly respected and people thought a lot, but I didn't view him like, I didn't know, not that I didn't view him, I didn't realize that he was viewed as this generational talent. I didn't know that. And the more people I've spoken to, everybody seems to be enamored with that guy. Everybody. So that would be a guy that I would say was more beloved than I realized.
The idea of Justin Fields slipping in this draft, let's say somehow, I don't believe he will be, but if Justin Fields was on the board there at 12, do you think the Eagles would be a team that would be very, very interested in pulling the trigger? Not saying that they would pick him definitely, but they would be very interested in pulling that trigger.
I think the Eagles' focus is in other directions. Now, again, we'll see if he makes it there.
Right.
We'll see what they... I just think that they have other ideas in mind. I'm not telling you that he couldn't slide there, that they couldn't pick him. I just haven't heard any of that. So anything's always possible. But again, that's not something I've heard a lot of conversation about.
Okay.
Adam, let's play the game that Patrick Surtain is on the board at 8 or 9. The Eagles are at 12.
Yeah.
Dallas obviously is going to have some interest in one of the cornerbacks.
That's a good thought.
Do you think the Eagles will be aggressive to go get their guy if they believe Surtain is it?
You know, as you were describing that, I'm thinking that's interesting. I guess the thing would be, you know, first of all, you're talking 8 and 9. So you're talking Carolina at 8, which is open to moving back, and Denver at 9. Now, Carolina, there's been some speculation around the league that they potentially could be interested in Justin Fields. Okay? And this is the decision that every team makes, and this is why these things are so hard to predict. Because if they do like Justin Fields, as much as some people think they do, and you can go take Justin Fields, even though they just traded for Sam Darnold, and now you've got two highly rated quarterbacks for the price of basically a 1 this year, a 6 this year, and a 2 and a 4 next year, which is the package they gave up for Sam Darnold. Maybe Carolina says, you know what, Howie, I know you're offering me, I mean, what would it cost to go from 12 to 8? See, that's the other thing. The 49ers have raised the bar in this draft, but that was for a quarterback. But would the Panthers be willing to give up their chance to go get Justin Fields if that's what they wanted? Or would they be willing to give up their chance to get Rashawn Slater, who many consider to be the second best tackle in the draft? Or would they be willing to give up their chance to get one of these cornerbacks to move back to 12 for whatever it is that it would take to get there? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the Eagles would offer, could offer, would have to offer. And it's the same story for the Broncos. So we could continue talking about teams trading up and come up with those ideas. And that's a plausible one, because I can tell you that most people believe Patrick Surtain is ticketed to Dallas at 10. Philadelphia is not dumb. Philadelphia knows that. So if Philadelphia desires Patrick Surtain, yes, they would have to get to 8 and 9. But what is that price? And would those teams be willing to do it? And they're not going to be willing to do it unless the price is
Price is right.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Exactly. So my guess, just my guess off the top of my head, is it would cost Philadelphia its second-round draft pick or something else. I had a team, you like this, I had a team yesterday tell me that was behind the Eagles that is thinking of trading up. Said to me yesterday, specifically, do you think the Eagles would like a fourth first-round draft pick for us to move up?
Wow. That means it's somebody later than, like, 15. Somebody, you have to, I'm doing Jimmy Johnson's depth chart. Jamie and I are pretty much, you know, we use that. Is that outdated, by the way? Is it outdated using that?
I think it's outdated, and I think it's still used. So if that makes sense. But this team called me yesterday, and they said to me, do you think Philadelphia would be willing to move back for an extra one?
Wow. And next year, that would be for an extra one, so it's next year's draft.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
And I said, I'm not really sure.
Get on it. Come on, Adam.
We'll see.
Broker a damn deal for us, Adam.
And then call us and let us
know. And then tell us the team, and then we want that deal. I want that deal. Tell them yes. We'll take that deal.
Why are teams calling you about the Eagles, Shefty?
One thing, hey, Adam, I got to ask one thing here. Is Les Snead really going to push all the chips to the middle of the table and go get Julio Jones for the Rams?
That's the first I've heard of that.
I heard some of that last night before going to bed. But Baltimore, because I was thinking the Baltimore Ravens, if they got Julio Jones, man, what a nice little prize that would be. A lot of money.
I think they were one of the teams that was mentioned initially with Julio, as were the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
So there's some teams out there, and I think that's in play here to watch in the coming in the coming days and weeks.
Good job. Hey, we appreciate it, Adam, and have a great draft. We'll be watching it all day long.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, guys. I appreciate that. Thanks very much. Enjoy it very much. Like I said, enjoy the greatest reality show that you get in sports.
Well, thank you, buddy. And if something crazy happens, we're going to try to bother you Friday, but I doubt you never know. Thanks, buddy.
We'll see. You got it.
Thanks, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.